Okay, so if you have your Bibles open to John chapter 14, we're going to look at the fifth I am statement of Jesus Christ. It's our sixth message in the series. The first one, we talked about the foundation back in the Old Testament for the I ams of Jesus Christ, but this is our fifth statement: I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, it's absolutely certain that separation from a loved one or a family member, it creates anxiety, hardship, turmoil. Separation is a hard thing to deal with in life. It come from a variety of ways. It might be, you know, you're moving, you're relocating, you're going to a different place, you're saying goodbye to friends and family that were significant and important. Separation comes sometimes, you know, your kids, they get older, they graduate, they marry, you know, different things. I mean, in Colorado Springs, one of the big, huge separation anxieties that we deal with is deployment. I mean, our military men and women who serve our country, they get sent literally around the world and they're separated. And that creates a great turmoil in families all throughout our city. Yesterday at the extravaganza down in Fountain, it was a really good day, by the way, guys. It was our largest attendance ever. We ran out of parking. And so every time when the conversation is, okay, how can you get more people to park next year? That's a good sign of success. Anyway, and so Gus, who comes to church here, he's serving in the military. He told me he's going to take a hardship deployment. He's going to go to Korea for a year, and his family is going to remain here in Colorado Springs. Well, I hope that Fellowship of the Rockies will be a good place for Hannah and the kids during that separation. The I am statement of Jesus Christ today was given to help people help his disciples deal with the greatest separation, and the greatest separation anxiety comes with death. Jesus, on the night before he was going to die, he told his disciples three really startling things. He said one of them was going to betray him, another one was going to deny him, and that he was going to die. And to help them deal with this reality, the separation, that he was going to heaven, he spoke these words that really are some of the most comforting words we found. They're found in all the scripture. Let's read them together. John 14, 1 through 7. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Let me pray. God, this passage today, the statement, the I am statement today from Jesus, it speaks to a huge challenge that exists in our culture. God, we need to understand how to embrace this truth and communicate it effectively to a world that in many cases wants to reject this statement. So, Father, I ask that our ears are open and our hearts are soft to receive your truth, your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, guys, it's easy to see how the disciples would have been troubled after what Jesus said, right? I mean, we get that. He's going. He's dying. These are challenging things. And so Jesus makes this statement that had profound implications for them and has profound implications for us today. And if we break down that simple phrase, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we break that down, we see three important things for ourselves today. The first one, we see that Jesus, he is the way to our eternal home. Guys, mankind is fascinated, has always been fascinated with heaven. I mean, there's just something about us that believes, that thinks, that hopes that there's something else out there. I mean, we gravitate towards this idea of heaven. How many of you remember the song from 2002, 2003, I Can Only Imagine, right? Mercy Me song. It crossed over. That means it left the Christian genre and made it on secular radio stations all around the world. In fact, it sold over 2.5 million copies, becoming the number one Christian song of all time. Why? Because it's about heaven. And guys, the world is interested in heaven. By the way, I'll give a shout out. It became the background to the song became a movie last week and has received many positive reviews. So if you're looking for some good quality Christian entertainment, you might check out I Could Only Imagine in the theaters. Over the past few decades, guys, we've seen lots of books and interests and stories about people who have claimed to have gone to heaven and come back. One a few years ago, Heaven's for Real. It's a story about a little boy who was very sick, going through surgery, and went to heaven and then came back. And it's an interesting story. It's also become a movie. It's an interesting story because his dad was a pastor. And his dad and his mom, they were sort of struggling with what the little boy was saying. Like it was just something he made up, or did it really happen? And they weren't quite sure if this was really heaven or just something about it until something that they told their son told them really rocked their world, that they believed he really did go to heaven. There really is a heaven. Let's watch a little clip there, guys. Yes, no, we given up on it. I got it. Yes or no, Jim? No, okay, we're not gonna watch the clip. I'll reenact it. Mommy, did you? No, I won't do that. It showed, the movie showed that the boy revealed that he met his sister who had died in her mother's womb in heaven. And the mom and dad had never told the little boy that she had a child die in the womb. It was powerful, guys. We are fascinated with heaven. There have been similar stories over the years. There's he was a famous preacher 30 or 40 years ago, Dr. Adrian Rogers. He pastored the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. And he was at the deathbed of his predecessor. And his predecessor, Dr. Lee, was lying in bed, and he was coming in and out of consciousness. And he came into consciousness, and he said these words: I saw a glimpse of heaven, and oh my, I didn't do it justice all the times I spoke on heaven. I missed its true beauty. Oh, it's more marvelous than I can describe. That's what Paul says, he's talking about in the verse, 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Again, mankind is fixated on the concept of heaven. even people who are not Christians recognize that there is something after this. There is something else that may be out there. Andrew Newberg, he's the director of research at a center, and he's not a Christian. He says that the human brain could be wired for God. He says the brain shows different patterns when engaging in spiritual exercises. He also says that he doesn't know where this capability comes from in the brain. Well, I know. 2,800 years before he did his research, God told where it came from. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Guys, we are wired to know God. God has set eternity, the desire for heaven, in the human heart. And Jesus says, I am the answer for the heaven question. When Jesus says, I am the way, one commentator puts it this way. It means that they, the disciples, and all others were to have access to God by obeying the instructions, imitating the example, and depending on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the leader on the road, the guide to the wandering, the teacher of the arrogant, and the path for all. Guys, if we follow Jesus, we are going to find the way to our eternal home. I am the way to heaven, is what he's saying. Second thing we see that he is the truth when we encounter confusion. Now, guys, truth in the statement of Jesus Christ, it takes on both a doctrinal or philosophical component and a practical component as well. Let's talk about the doctrinal or the philosophical aspect of the statement of Jesus, I am the truth. Okay, let me give you some numbers. Let's give you, it gives 44% and 35%, okay? 44% of Americans believe that truth is relative. Only 35% of Americans believe that truth is absolute. Now, let's shift gears and talk about religion or Christianity for just a second. A couple other numbers, 56% and 64%. 56% of Americans don't believe that one religious text has a monopoly on truth, but that all religious texts are just a different way of communicating the same spiritual truth. 64% of millennials. There's a young man who came to church here, a millennial, who had never been to Fellowship of the Rockies before, was in first service because had a disturbing conversation about this very subject with his roommate and friend last night. And so he decided to come to Fellowship of the Rockies the day we're talking about it. His roommate believes that eventually God will accept everyone no matter what they believe. Why? Because millennials, 64%, was it 64 or 61? 64% of them believe that no one religious text has a monopoly on truth. They're all different ways of communicating the same spiritual truth. Guys, not only is it wrong, it's just rationally inaccurate. There can't be different ways, different truths to the same truth. It doesn't work. Ravi Zacharias, he's a Christian apologist. Some of you read some of his stuff, I'm sure. But he says, truth by nature is exclusive. And the statement is both profound and simplistic because the law of non-contradiction is elementary logic. Truth cannot simultaneously exist along with its contradiction. Even science teaches the repellent nature of opposite forces. So let me just ask you this question. What is the color of this stand? Are you sure? But I think it's white. I mean, what is color anyway? To me, black is white and white is black. And for me, this stand is white. Guys, the major issue that it exists, the major error in the seeming vision that we are going to be one world with different beliefs and we're all going to get along and it's going to be wonderful. The error in that, the problem with that is that different belief systems that claim exclusivity can't all be right. Now, what happens today in most secular realms in America is they would point to Christianity as being the exclusive thought, when that's just simply incorrect. Islam, Buddhism, Judaism, Hinduism all have exclusive teachings about their belief system. Even if one were to come up with an ism that says there is no one ism, that would be mutually exclusive of the isms that says there is one ism. Guys, truth is by nature truth. Everything cannot be true. Everything cannot be true. Say that with me. Everything cannot be true. It is the very nature of truth that presents us with the reality that everything cannot be true. If everything is true, then nothing is false. If nothing is false, then everything is false, and there is no truth. It doesn't make rational sense to say, hey, everything gets there just different ways. One should not be surprised by the exclusive claim of Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except through me. Why? Because he first said, I am truth. And truth is, there is one way to God through Jesus Christ. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, it puts the famous statement of C.S. Lewis, an apologist from the last century. And he said, Jesus Christ is either lunatic, liar, or Lord. You can't just say Jesus was a good guy, a great teacher, and you should follow his examples. Guys, he just said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Either he's Lord, and that is true, or he's a lunatic or a liar. Are you tracking with me here? Either Christ is the immeasurable God, the one way to God, or he's a nutcase. But we know he's the truth. We know he is the life. We know he is the way to our eternal home. Guys, we have to understand that in the statement of Jesus Christ, we don't just see exclusivity. We see clarity. We see inclusivity. We see God wanting us with him, right? He was so clear because he wants people to have a relationship with him. The series Key Truth, God's greatest revelation about himself is in Jesus Christ. It shows the heart of God. Jesus says, I have come to seek and to save the lost. I want relationship with you, and I'm telling you exactly how you can have relationship with me. Guys, when it comes to eternal life, we have to know that it's based on this truth. Titus 1:1 and 2 says this, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Guys, our hope of eternal life, our promise of life, is based on knowledge of the truth. Truth is not just doctrinal or philosophical, though, when Jesus said, I am the truth. It's practical. God wants you to know that when things in life are confusing, he is the truthful answer for the confusion in the midst of confusion. So many ways this happens. Let me just talk about a couple of them, but so many ways. You know, one of the things that often plagues people is insecurity or inferiority. You know, you think about the past and you look into the future, you say, I'm just not going to do it. Like, God wants you to do something. God wants you to love somebody who's not easy to love. God wants you to forgive somebody who doesn't deserve forgiveness. God wants you to serve him in a way that doesn't match your schedule, right? And so the enemy comes and says, no, you can't do that. You aren't able to. Somebody else could do that, but you can't do that because it's not you. Well, God gives us truth. Philippians 4:13 says, you can do anything that God wants you to do. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Yet truth speaks into your insecurity, right? You know, so many of us struggle with image and who we are, and we look at other people and say, well, why can't I be like that? If I was like that, if I was smart like him, if I looked like her, you know, or whatever, if I had their money, I would be something, right? You got up this morning, you looked in the mirror, and you said, ugh. You know, God has a truth for that. David in Psalm 139, it says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Or no, I'm sorry, that was the last one. David, Psalm 139 says this, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Contemporary translation, God don't make no junk. You ain't junk. I made you exactly the way I wanted you made. I made you beautifully. You know, we think about we're doing something, we're going to press on, we're going to do something. We say, and you hear the lie, you say, if the lie comes from the enemy, you say, you know, you're only going to mess up again. You messed up with it last week. Why would you think you're not going to mess up with it this week? You're a mess up. No, the truth of God is Romans 8:37 says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Because God, Jesus Christ makes us victorious. There's a powerful, practical reality to this truth in our lives. Jesus being truth in our lives. So he's the way to heaven. He's the way to our eternal home. He's the truth. And when there's confusing things going on, and he is the life both here and in the next. So imagine being around the table, the Last Supper with Jesus. And instead of Jesus saying this, he said to the disciples, he says, I'm going to take off and I'm going to go to heaven. And I'm going to make a really cool place in heaven so that when you get there, everything will be great. But right now, you're on your own. Would that have been encouraging? Or would they have been super excited? I mean, heaven is the great informer of life. I get that. But the life of Jesus is not just eternal. It is here and now as well. 2 Peter 1, 3, say, 3 and 4 say this. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious, given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. God says, Jesus says, when I am the way, the truth, and the life, it's life right now. I've given you everything you need to escape the corruption of this world, to live the divine life, to have joy, peace, and fulfillment right now. We are fully equipped right now. Guys, and we are equipped right now when life does not cooperate. We have the life of Christ when this, oh, I wish that wouldn't have happened, just happened. We have the life of Christ when we've been rejected. We have the life of Christ when we've been abandoned. Right here, we still have the life of Christ. In fact, Christ's life can actually thrive in the midst of challenge, hurt, and heartbreak. That's when the life of Christ excels. Okay, so the last couple weeks, as we talked about the good shepherd and the gate for the sheep, we looked at John 10:10 a couple times. And John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Some of the translations say have life abundantly. Okay, so naturally, in our 21st century American mindset, when I say to you, you're going to have abundant life, many, many times our brains go to an inexhaustible bank account, a perpetual victory. Like, we just start thinking that every time you play the game, you're going to hit the game-winning shot like Michigan did last night with no seconds on the clock, right? You think that's always going to be life. But that's not true, because half the team lost. Half the players lost, not half the team. The other team lost. Guys, the life of God is not just, hey, everything is going to be hunky-dory. The life of God, Jesus Christ says, I am life, even in the midst of these not-so-good situations. In fact, that's when my life, the fullness of my life, excels. And it's not just life here and now, it's life eternal, right? He's the way to our eternal home. He's the life that leads to eternal life, right? He's the one that leads us to eternal life. John 5:24 says this, very truly I tell you that whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Guys, it would be hard to make it any clearer than that, right? If you believe in me, Jesus says, You are going to have eternal life. You will cross over from death to life. God doesn't want there to be confusion about that. Yes, it's exclusive. Yes, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. But it's clear, God doesn't want you to be confused about this. Right? He loves you so much. He so desires relationship with you that he said, hey, you trust in me. You believe in me, and you will cross from death to life. Man, the greatest confusion, the greatest conflict of all time is clarified in Jesus' statement. All right, so let me wrap up this. This is what, I know. I know we came in here today. I know a lot of you came in here because you wanted to see your kids. And they were cute. I get that. And maybe you were just thinking you were coming here to see a cute kid. But in your heart and in your mind and in your soul, right, there's problems, there's challenges, there's confusions, there's frustrations. Guys, God doesn't want you to leave in the same state in which you entered. You know, one of the things that we do as a church, and I don't talk about it probably as much or in detail as I should, is, you know, we have a prayer time. We want to pray with you. One of the greatest powers that is available to Christians is prayer. We talk about the prayer room. You go right through that door. It's my left, your right. At the end of service, there's people in there. And you know, it might be that the bank account is not looking very good this month. And there's somebody in the room. It's confidential. They're just like you. They've been through it. They want to pray with you. They want to minister the truth of Scripture for that situation. It might be that, you know, the kids are being kids, right? They want to pray with you. You might not know the clarity of eternity. They can open up God's word and show you how you can know you have eternal life. Guys, don't leave the same way in which you entered. That's not good. God wants to do something. The way, the truth, and the life wants to speak into your reality right now. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for your truth, your power. God, thank you for helping us in the times of confusion. God, thank you for providing way, giving life, directions, a surety in life. God, we thank you for that. God, I ask is that if there's someone here today and they're confused, they're downtrodden, the enemy has got them, that they would allow them to be prayed for, to be prayed over. God, we're thankful for this clarifying statement. Help us to be able to appropriately communicate the truth in the midst of a world that wants to deny any type of truth. And I ask this in Jesus' name.